You walk into your mother's kitchen. The mail is just, well, it is piled up on the counter in this really disorganized mess.
Yeah.
And that is highly unusual for her.
Right.
But then you notice she is telling you a story about her childhood. And it is for the third time in just an hour.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And she isn't just reminiscing, you know? Her brain has completely wiped those first two conversations.
And that is the exact moment a family is thrown into a labyrinth of terminology they never wanted to learn.
Exactly. Welcome to this California Care Compass editorial deep dive. If you are listening, you are likely a California family facing a heavy reality you've probably never had to think about before.
Yeah, it is a lot to process.
It really is. So we want to be warm, calm, and incredibly direct with you today. Suddenly, words that were just background noise on television commercials, they are front and center in your life.
Words like assisted living and, well, memory care.
Right. And people use them interchangeably all the time, but they are vastly different. Choosing between them is one of the most important decisions you will ever make for your parent.
Absolutely. So our mission today is to cut through that noise. We're going to break down what each one actually is, who it is designed for, and, how you can figure out the right path for the person you love.
Let's start with the term you've probably heard the most often, assisted living.
Right, the big one.
At its core, this is a housing model for seniors who need some help with daily life. But, and this is crucial, they absolutely do not need round-the-clock medical supervision.
Exactly.
Think of it this way: assisted living is like having a personal assistant and a maid. It removes the physical friction of daily life for someone who still has a significant amount of independence left to protect.
The key word there really is assisted. It is about providing a safety net for physical decline.
Okay, so what does that actually look like day to day?
Well, the help centers on what the healthcare industry calls activities of daily living. These are the fundamental baseline tasks of self-care we all do every single day without even thinking about it.
So we were talking about bathing, getting dressed, maybe managing medication safely.
Right. And basic mobility, like just getting to and from the dining room.
No.
But, it goes beyond just personal care.
How so?
Well, these communities also take over the instrumental tasks of life. Those are the logistical chores that can become incredibly overwhelming or even dangerous for an older adult.
Like leaving the stove on, that kind of thing.
Exactly. So they handle cooking all the meals, keeping the apartment clean, doing the laundry, and arranging transportation to the doctor. The facility handles all of that physical burden so the resident can really just focus on living.
That makes a lot of sense. What stands out to me in the sources is the environment itself. It is specifically designed to feel like a home.
Yes, very much so.
It isn't a clinical hospital ward. Residents usually have their own private apartment, maybe a little kitchenette, and their own bathroom. And the rest of the building functions as this this community space.
And that social calendar is a massive part of the value here. We
Really?
know from extensive research that isolation in seniors is a severe health risk.
How severe are we talking?
It is often compared to smoking a pack of cigarettes a day in terms of its impact on mortality.
Oh my goodness, that is wild.
It is. So having that built-in companionship through exercise classes, movie nights, or even just sharing meals in a central dining room, that can be just as beneficial to their physical health as the medication management.
Now, here is a very important piece of California-specific context you need to know. In our state, these facilities are licensed by the California Department of Social Services.
Yes, that is vital to check.
The official license they hold is called a residential care facility for the elderly. Every state has different rules, but here in California, that license is the standard you are looking for.
So if we are picturing the ideal person who thrives here, it is your dad who is still sharp as a tack mentally, but his body is getting frail and he has had a couple of scary falls. Or your mom, who is completely conversational, but sometimes, well, she forgets her blood pressure medication. And she is just simply exhausted from cooking for one person every night.
Okay, wait, I have to stop you there. Because you are describing physical frailty for assisted living, but if my dad starts leaving the stove on because his memory is slipping, my first thought is to get him help.
Right, naturally.
So why wouldn't I just put him in the assisted living facility you just described? I mean, isn't memory care just a marketing label for the exact same building?
No, and that is probably the most common misconception families have. Memory care is not just assisted living with a fresh coat of paint and a different name on the door.
Okay.
What is fascinating here is that memory care is built from the ground up physically and philosophically, for individuals with Alzheimer's disease or other forms of dementia.
That is a huge distinction.
It really is. If assisted living is support for the body, memory care is support for a failing mind.
Okay, let's break down those foundational differences, starting with the biggest one, safety.
Yes, safety is the absolute primary distinction. Wandering is a common and very dangerous symptom of dementia.
Because they just walk out and get lost.
Exactly. And it happens because the brain's spatial mapping system is actively deteriorating. A person can become completely disoriented in an instant.
That is so scary.
It is terrifying. They might walk out the front door looking for a house they lived in 40 years ago, and they're unable to find their way back, and sometimes unable to even remember their own name to ask for help.
Wow. So to prevent that, memory care environments are entirely secured. The exterior doors have keypads or alarms, right?
Right. And the outdoor areas like gardens and courtyards are fully enclosed. So the residents have the freedom to move about their environment independently, but without that catastrophic risk of getting lost.
That makes total sense. And then you have to look at the staffing. In assisted living, staff help with physical tasks, but memory care caregivers undergo specialized training.
Yes, very specialized. They have to understand the actual clinical progression of dementia.
So how does that change their daily interaction with a resident?
Well, it changes everything about how they communicate. A person with dementia might experience sudden agitation or aggression, mostly because they are confused and terrified.
Right. Their reality is slipping.
Exactly. So specialized staff learn to use communication techniques tailored for a brain that is losing its grip on logic. They use nonverbal cues. They make deliberate eye contact. And they learn to validate the resident's reality instead of correcting them.
Wait, what does that mean, validate their reality?
If a resident thinks this is a completely different decade, correcting them just causes distress. The staff is trained to step into that reality with them.
Oh, wow. That brings us to the physical environment itself, which honestly blew my mind when I was reading the sources.
The architecture, yeah.
Yes, the architecture of a memory care facility is essentially a therapeutic tool. You see things like circular hallways. They build the hallways in a loop so a resident never hits a dead end.
Let's explain why that matters so much.
Yeah.
When a dementia patient hits a dead end, they don't just see a wall.
Because of that spatial mapping issue we talked about.
Right. Because they have lost that ability, their brain tells them they are physically trapped with no escape. That triggers a severe fight-or-flight panic response.
And circular hallways eliminate that neurological trigger completely.
Exactly. It is brilliant.
You also see memory boxes outside their doors. These are little display cases filled with personal photos and mementos from their youth.
Yes, those are so important.
Because it acts as a visual cue to help them identify their own space when room numbers no longer mean anything to their brain.
And the entire daily routine is designed around this philosophy, too. Assisted living gives you a menu of optional activities. Memory care, well, it is like living inside a therapeutic bubble designed to keep the brain calm.
So it is much more structured.
Very structured. Predictability reduces stress for someone with dementia. So instead of a complex card game, the staff might run music therapy or simple tactile art projects.
Just to keep them busy.
Not just to keep them busy. The goal is to provide moments of genuine joy and sensory stimulation that their brain can actually process.
On the regulatory side, memory care facilities are also licensed as a residential care facility for the elderly by the California Department of Social Services.
Yes, they hold that same base license.
But to legally market themselves as dementia care in California, they have to meet rigorous additional state requirements for all that specialized staff training and the physical safety features we just discussed.
That specialized licensing ensures the environment matches the clinical need.
Okay, let's unpack this. Assisted living is an open, flexible service model primarily for physical needs. Memory care is a secured, structured clinical model wrapped in a service environment specifically designed to bend reality to accommodate cognitive decline.
That is a great way to put it.
And because of the intense staff ratios, the security, and the specialized training, memory care is fundamentally going to be much more expensive.
Right. That is the practical reality of requiring specialized, round-the-clock cognitive care.
Which leads to a terrifying realization for families. What if my parent starts in assisted living? Because they are doing pretty well, but a few years down the line, their cognitive health declines.
That is a very common worry.
Do they have to pack up and move out entirely to a new facility when they are at their most vulnerable?
Fortunately, the industry has adapted to this very common path. Many larger senior living communities in California are designed as continuing care retirement communities.
Okay.
Or they simply have different specialized neighborhoods within the exact same building.
So they can start in the open assisted living wing and then transition to the secured memory care wing down the hall when the time comes.
Exactly. A transition like that is far less traumatic for the resident because the overall environment, the administration, and even the food, it is all familiar.
That makes a lot of sense.
It gives the family incredible peace of mind knowing they won't have to scramble to find a brand new facility in the middle of a cognitive health crisis.
But who makes that call? How does a facility actually decide it is time to force that move?
The clinical staff, usually a wellness director or a registered nurse, they monitor the residents for specific transition triggers.
Like what? What are they looking for?
They are looking for behaviors that make the open assisted living side unsafe. It could be severe cognitive decline where the resident can no longer follow simple directions to safely evacuate an emergency.
Oh, right. Fire drills and things like that.
Exactly. Or it could be disruptive agitation that impacts other residents, or even a sharp, noticeable drop in personal hygiene that the assisted living staff simply aren't equipped to manage.
And then they call a meeting.
When those triggers hit, they sit down with the family to recommend the transition.
I want to emphasize to you, the listener, that you are not alone in those transition meetings. The California Department of Aging runs a long-term care ombudsman program.
Yes, such an important program.
These are trained advocates who help families navigate these incredibly difficult conversations and ensure the rights of the resident are always protected. Keep the California Department of Aging in mind if you ever feel pressured by a facility.
That is a vital resource for consumer protection.
So we have painted a picture of this highly specialized therapeutic environment. But as a family is touring these beautiful memory-safe courtyards, there is usually a very heavy realization dawning on them.
The elephant in the room.
Exactly. Who on earth is paying for all this real estate and care? Let's talk about public insurance. Surely Medicare steps in at some point.
I will be very direct here because this is the single biggest, most financially devastating misconception families have.
Okay, brace yourselves, everyone.
Medicare, which is run by the Federal Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, absolutely does not pay for long-term custodial care or room and board in these facilities.
Zero coverage for the rent or the caregivers.
Zero.
Wow.
And it is important to understand why. Medicare was built around acute health care. It was designed for curing illness, treating injury, and rehabilitation.
Okay, so fixing problems, not managing daily life.
Right. Custodial care means help with activities of daily living, which is considered living assistance, not medical treatment.
I see.
The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services will pay for your doctor visits, your hospital stays, your prescriptions, and short-term skilled rehab after a hospital stay, but they will not pay your monthly bill at an assisted living or memory care facility.
That is a brutal pill to swallow for a family already drowning in stress. Is there any lifeline for low-income families in California?
There is. This is where we look at Medi-Cal, which is California's version of the Medicaid program.
Okay.
Now, standard Medi-Cal also does not pay for room and board in these specific types of facilities. However, there's a very special program called the Assisted Living Waiver.
How does that waiver actually function?
It is managed by the California Department of Healthcare Services. The goal of the program is to help eligible people who would otherwise be forced into a clinical nursing home receive care in a community setting instead.
Oh, that is amazing. So if they qualify financially and medically.
Yes, then the California Department of Healthcare Services will pay for the care portion of the facility bill. That covers the personal caregivers, the medication management, and the services.
But the resident still has to cover the actual real estate part, you know, the room and board.
Yes. The resident is still responsible for the room and board portion, which they typically pay using their Social Security income or a pension.
It sounds like a fantastic program, but we have to give a harsh dose of reality here. This program has a massive wait list.
Yes, massive.
It is not an emergency solution you can tap into overnight when your parent suddenly takes a turn. If you think your parent will need this financial help, you need to look into the assisted living waiver very early.
Absolutely. Time is your absolute best asset when dealing with public assistance programs. You cannot wait until a crisis to start that paperwork.
So you have the definitions and you understand the sobering financial landscape. So what does this all mean? When you are sitting at that kitchen table tonight looking at the unpaid bills, how do you actually make the choice between the two paths?
Yeah, you don't guess. It all starts with a medical foundation. A thorough medical assessment by a primary care doctor or a geriatrician is the mandatory first step.
You have to have that baseline.
Yes. A clear medical diagnosis will dictate the path.
Right.
If it is early stage mild cognitive impairment, an assisted living environment with a good routine might be wonderful.
Right.
But if the dementia is advancing, memory care is the safest choice from day one.
Once you have that diagnosis in hand and you start touring places, how do you see past the shiny marketing brochures?
You have to engage your senses and really trust your intuition. When you tour, don't just listen to the marketing director. Watch the actual caregivers on the floor.
What are we looking for with the caregivers?
Do they make eye contact with the residents? Are they smiling? Do they speak respectfully? Or are they talking over the residents like they aren't even there?
That is such a good tip. And pay attention to the environment itself. Smell the building. A good facility smells clean, but not overwhelmingly like industrial bleach trying to hide something.
Very true.
And listen to the volume. Is the environment calm and peaceful, or is it loud and chaotic? We know a loud environment is terrible for an agitated dementia patient.
It just spikes their anxiety.
Exactly. And don't be afraid to ask hard questions. Ask the director specifically about the dementia training required by the California Department of Social Services. Ask them to prove their staff has completed it.
Any high-quality facility will be proud to answer those questions and show you their credentials.
When families ask us where to even begin with all this overwhelm as California Care Compass editors, we suggest taking just a few concrete steps this week to get the ball rolling.
Just take it one step at a time.
Do not try to solve the entire puzzle today. First, schedule that doctor's appointment for a professional assessment. Then, start a written log today.
Yes, that written log is crucial because, well, memory is subjective.
Right.
When you finally sit down with a geriatrician, they only see your parent for a 15-minute window. Having a literal diary of dates, times, and specific behavior changes is the most powerful clinical evidence you can bring them.
Next, go window shopping online. Go to the California Department of Social Services website. Find their facility search tool. Type in your zip code and just look at the licensed residential care facilities for the elderly in your area to get a feel for the landscape.
Just to see what is out there.
Exactly. You can also visit our companion guide for this step dive to download a printable checklist of questions you can take with you on facility tours.
I want to leave you with our core editorial philosophy regarding this whole journey. Making the decision to move a parent into care, it often feels like a massive admission of defeat for families.
It really does. It feels like a betrayal.
But I strongly encourage you to reframe that perspective. It isn't giving up.
Not at all.
It is the exact opposite. Choosing the right environment is an act of profound love. Your goal is not just finding a place to stash a parent so you don't have to worry.
Right.
Your goal is finding a place where they can actually live well. A place where they're met with safety, dignity, and a high quality of life that you simply cannot provide on your own in a standard house anymore.
I want to leave you with one final thought to mull over. We talked about how the physical environment of a memory care facility, things like circular hallways and clear visual cues, has a massive impact on reducing a dementia patient's anxiety.
It changes everything for them.
It does. So think about this. How might you begin to subtly adapt your own home right now, even before a move becomes necessary, to make your loved one's current reality just a little bit easier to navigate?
That is a great question.
Can you improve the lighting in the hallways? Can you remove rugs that cause tripping hazards? Can you put personal photos on the outside of their bedroom door today to help their brain map the house?
That is a wonderful way to bring that specialized clinical knowledge directly into your living room right now.
Next time on the Deep Dive, we are going to pull back the curtain on that state license we keep mentioning, the Residential Care Facility for the Elderly License.
Oh, that is going to be a good one.
Yes, we will explore exactly what those state regulations guarantee and, more importantly, what they do not cover.
It is a critical piece of the puzzle for consumer protection in California.
It sure is. Until then, remember that this journey rarely begins with a grand announcement. It starts with those thousand tiny moments at the kitchen table, and you don't have to navigate them alone. We will see you next time.